tota pulchra est Maria, et macula originalis non est in te. You are all beautiful, O Mary, and there is in you no stain of original sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, finally, after 9 days of preparation, we have arrived at our great feast day of the Immaculate Conception. Over these 9 days, we meditated on some ancient prayers to Our Lady. We saw that our forefathers in the faith saw already that Our Lady is co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. From the earliest days, it was well known too that Our Lady was immaculately conceived. In today's sermon, let us see how the Immaculate Conception is the basis for Our Lady's roles of co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. We see that at Lourdes, in response to St. Bernadette Subiru's repeated questions, she replied, "I am the Immaculate Conception." These words must have a precise meaning, since in that year, 1858, it had been 4 years since the dogma of the Immaculate Conception had been declared and defined. And it was impossible that Bernadette, in the remote village of Lourdes, could have heard of it, much less understood it, given that she could barely read or write. With these words, Our Lady was passing a message to the parish priest to convince him that she was from heaven and that Saint Bernadette was no hallucinating heretic. So we ask the question, who are you, Immaculate Conception? We find a very good answer in St. Maximilian Kolbe's works towards the end of his life. Obviously, the Immaculate Conception is neither God, nor an angel created from nothing, nor Adam created from the dust of the earth, nor Eve molded from a rib of Adam. The Immaculate Conception is not the same as the Incarnate Word, who exists before all time, and therefore cannot be called a conception. Human beings exist only from the moment of their conception, but they have the stain of original sin on their souls. Only Mary is the unique, immaculate conception. To reach our perfection, we have to follow the natural law implanted on our heart by God to become like Him and then go back to Him. We have to know and love Him in a conscious manner, using our faculties of intelligence and will. Through this, we unite ourselves more closely with Him and thus find our way back to Him. The creature most completely filled with this love, with God Himself, was Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, who never contracted the slightest stain of sin and who never departed in the least way from God's will. United to the Holy Spirit as her spouse, she is one with God in an incomparably more perfect way than any creature. This certainly would be an interior union of her being with the Holy Spirit. He dwells in her from the first moment of her existence. He is God Himself, the love of the Father and of the Son, uncreated love, the love of the Most Holy Trinity. Among us creatures made in God's image, married love is the most intimate union of all. The Holy Spirit lives in Our Lady in a much more precise, interior, and essential manner in the very depths of her being. In today's Gospel from St. Luke, we have the passage on the Annunciation, where the angel Gabriel used the word kekaritomini, translated imperfectly in the Bible as full of grace. The grace of God had already transformed the Blessed Virgin Mary before the angel Gabriel appeared to her. To Saint Bernadette at Lourdes, Our Lady did not say that she was conceived immaculately, but that she is the Immaculate Conception. So it is not something attached to her or belonging to her, but she is Immaculate Conception in her very person. the Holy Spirit dwelt in Our Lady, keeping her sacred for Him until the time for the Annunciation came, when she gave her fiat and He conceived the human life of God made man in her womb. With Mary's Immaculate Conception, God the Father and the Son willed that Mary be united to their common spirit of love in such a close and intimate manner that would allow the Holy Spirit to bring about the incarnation of the Word within her womb, making Mary the Mother of God. This union between the Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit is so perfect that the Holy Spirit acts only by His spouse, making her the mediatrix of all graces and gifts. Every grace that we are given comes from God the Father through the merits of God the Son and are distributed by God the Holy Spirit, who in turn gives it to Mary to dispose of as her own. There is therefore no grace that comes to us without passing through Mary. She is the mediatrix of all graces. With Mary's Immaculate Conception, we should also look at her relationship with God the Son. In the order of love, she is the perfect mother and therefore the most intimate partner and co-redeemer in His historic sufferings for our redemption. She is the co-redemptrix not only because she is the Mother of God, but also because she is the Immaculate Conception. She is without stain, full of grace, and in total enmity with Satan and his seed of evil and sin. The Immaculate One is created by the Father in view of the merits of the Son, precisely to be the perfect human cooperator with Jesus in the historic work of human salvation. Any sin on Mary's part would establish a bond or union between herself and Satan, the historic foe of the Redeemer. The Blessed Virgin would then be a type of double agent, working with Jesus, but also having an association with His adversary, the very person and power from whom Jesus wants to buy us back. The woman chosen by God to be His collaborator in our redemption must have nothing to do with the enslaver and defiler of humanity. She was created immaculate by God the Father of all mankind, crafted so as to be the ark of the new covenant, carrying the Redeemer of the world in her immaculate womb and dying with Him in her immaculate heart for the redemption of the world. If Our Lady had any sin on her soul, she would be at odds with our Lord and in a state of debt to Him. In this case, there is no way to ask her to intercede for us, to obtain relief from the debt of justice we owe to God because of our sins. In His infinite wisdom, God the Father created the Blessed Virgin Mary to be free of sin from the moment of her conception so that she could be co-redemptrix of mankind with our Lord and consequently mediatrix of all graces and advocate for sinners. It is because Mary Immaculate has absolutely nothing to do with sin, absolutely no association with the enemy of mankind, that she becomes the co-redemptrix with Jesus in buying us back from sin. She becomes the Immaculate mediatrix of all grace, who with the one mediator brings us the gifts of eternal salvation. She becomes the all-pure advocate who presents our petitions to our divine judge and king. Before our Lord redeemed any of us through the cooperation of Our Lady, He redeemed her by applying the merits to be gained at Calvary to her first, before applying them to us. Thus, her Immaculate Conception made her the first human being redeemed by our Lord and the perfect collaborator with Him in His work of our salvation. Being the first among the disciples of our Lord, the one most closely united to Him, more closely in fact than all the saints put together, she is our only hope in difficult moments, and without fail she will lead us ever closer to our Lord. As our Lord honored her for her entire life, let us learn from him and honor her in our own. The spiritual writers have said that what drew God to choosing her for his mother was her humility. He has regarded the lowliness of his handmaid. For this reason, chosen to be the mother of God, Our Lady could say when she visited St. Elizabeth, "He who is mighty has done great things for me." She is the first of all creatures in sanctity and beauty, free from sin at the beginning of her life. All through her life she grew in merit and ended her time on earth free from sin. As children of such a mother, let us imitate her to the extent we are capable in her devotion, her meekness, her simplicity, her modesty, and her sweetness. Copy her faith, her patience, her obedience, her meditative spirit, her fortitude, and her self-surrender to the will of God. Let us imitate her purity. Without her help in this domain, it is impossible to advance to heaven in this, our present world. Think of her often. Meditate on her life. She will calm our fires of concupiscence, help us to guard our senses, teach us patience and perseverance. She is our comfort in our discouragements, our tiredness, our help to rise again after our falls, our reward for our successes. She will help us stay on the way of truth. Our Catholic religion has the gift of making the young heart chaste because it gives us Jesus Christ for our food and Mary for our nursing mother. It is with her help that we can prove this in our lives and show the world that the religion we follow is not a false one. In the very face of the world, we can vindicate the glory of our Mother Mary by the simplicity of our deportment and the sanctity of our words and deeds. She can give us the royal heart of innocence. She is the beautiful gift of God to us. Sharing in the power of the Almighty God, she is stronger than an army in battle array. No one who sought her in sincerity has been disappointed. Let us heartily rejoice in the Lord for giving us such a great mother. Placing her before us and imitating her in everything, we are sure to reach our heavenly goal. O Mary, through thy Immaculate Conception, make my body pure and my soul holy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.